So this morning, I want to talk to you about encouragement. And to some people, encouragement does not come naturally. To me, it kind of does. I'm kind of a half-full kind of gal. I'm not a look-at-life-half-empty, so encouragement comes kind of natural to me. But to some people, it just doesn't. Some people, it's really something that they have to work at. So I looked up in the dictionary the word encourage, to make someone more determined, hopeful, or confident, to make something more appealing or more likely to happen, to make someone more likely to do something, to tell or advise to do something, to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope, to attempt to persuade, to spur on, be a cheerleader, spur on, to give help or patronage. 20% of all words looked up on the Webster's online dictionary, in that top 20%, encourage is listed in there. So of all of the people who use an online dictionary, Webster's online dictionary, 20% of those top tier of words, encourage is in there. We're looking up what it means to encourage. So on the flip side of that, I'm like, okay, well, let's find out what just the opposite of encourage is, and that means to discourage. Discourage comes with a frowny face. Discourage. I saw on Facebook yesterday, you know, that it... Oh, no, I don't remember how it is, so I'm not going to go there. It was something about a frown and a slap. But, yeah, so I can't remember how it went, so we'll just bypass that. So to discourage means to make someone less determined or hopeful or less confident, to make things less likely to happen, to try to make people not want to do something, to deprive of courage or confidence, to hinder by disfavoring, to dissuade or attempt to dissuade from doing something. So discouragement can be a positive thing. It really can. I was sitting in the back seat of a car one day, and I was talking with my buddy Sandy, and I started to say, well, this is what I would say, and I just blurted out this statement, and she goes, oh, Ty, you can't say that. I went, oh, yeah. So she discouraged me from saying something that probably I would have regretted, so I'm glad I ran it by her. She's still going, I remember that. Yeah, it was one of those just out of your mouth, whoops, kind of moments. So, yeah, so discouragement sometimes can be a positive thing, but most often it's not. Most often it's not. This is an example of unhealthy encouragement or discouragement. How many of you remember who Johnny Carson is? Yeah, Johnny Carson, funny guy. Watched him at 10:30 at night. His monologue was always funny, and then you turn the TV off. I can't number the times that I crawled up with my mom in her lap while she watched Johnny Carson before she went to bed, because she was a night person. He was funny, but his personal life was an absolute train wreck. Johnny's mom definitely favored his older sister, Catherine. There was three siblings, and she favored the older sister. And by all reports, she did not like raising boys. Carson's mother was never impressed by Johnny and showed him very little affection. Now, when you think about Johnny Carson, you don't think about anything negative about the guy. I mean, whatever, believer, non-believer, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying face value. His mother was never very impressed with him. She was very cold and unsmiling, one reporter wrote. Writer Margaret Lyon said that Ruth Carson never laughed at her son's jokes. She never laughed or enjoyed his monologue. She gave him only a passing grade as a comedian and said that he wasn't the type to be a comedian. She was always deflating what he was trying to do. Johnny never stopped trying to please his mother, sending his parents on elaborate vacations and cruises, trying to do all of the things that a good son would do to show the love to his parents, giving them credit cards to pay for things. And as she exited the boat after one vacation cruise that he had sent them on, all she could say was, "I'm just glad to be home." Yeah, kind of sad. Johnny sent her a mink coat. Noreen's going to love this. Johnny sent her a mink coat, and she sent it back stating Nebraska was too fancy, or a mink coat was too fancy to wear in Nebraska. Could you wear a mink coat in Nebraska? Absolutely. Noreen's from Nebraska. She would wear a mink coat in Nebraska, and Lord knows you'd need a mink coat in Nebraska. It gets cold and windy. Yeah, but she sent it back. He brought her to the show. She never cracked a smile or laughed at his jokes. She was a very sour woman who lacked the gift of encouragement. He could never do enough or try hard enough to please her, which led to this man's lingering insecurities. He was very undisciplined. He was very lonely and self-absorbed because he lacked that much-needed maternal encouragement. At the end of her life, Johnny never went to her funeral, but rather it was reported that he had said, "Finally, the wicked witch is dead." She put nothing positive into his life, nothing. And at the end of her life, that's how he felt about this woman. To me, that's really sad. Man, I hope that when I pass, I hope that my boys have something encouraging to say about their mom. If nothing else, she talked too much and she drank a lot of coffee. Of which I have some right up here just in case. But something happened along the way. Something happened along her life's journey that caused her to be such a non-compassionate, discouraging person. Something happened to her. And she just carried that on into the life of her children. How we need encouragement in a world today that would rather knock us down and trample us than give us a helping hand up or a word of encouragement. In conversation I had with the family just here at the church, we were getting ready to put stuff away, and this woman was standing there with her husband and her kids, and she was talking to her son. And she's been trying to persuade him to do something. And he's like, yeah, I will. I really want to, but it's not the right time. It's not the right time. And she turned to me and she goes, "I'm the family encourager." And everybody standing around here went, "Yeah, she really is." Yeah. She was the go for it, you can do it cheerleader in her family. She told her son, "You can do this." He's like, "Well, yeah, I have to make the right time." "No, you can do it. You can fit it into your schedule. You can do it." And I thought to myself, man, I want to be around her because she's encouraging. She's pushing her little chickens out there in the world. "You can do this. You can do this." And we need that. We need to be that kind of a mom. We need to be that kind of people in this world. We need to be encouraging one another. Ephesians 4 and 32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Ephesians 4 and 2, "Always be humble and gentle." This world we live in lacks gentleness. People are abrasive and they're mean. They're meanie heads, my friend Barb says. They're meanie heads. "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." Because of your love of what? Because of our love of Christ. Sometimes we need to overlook. Yes, we need to have a friend that can speak into our lives and say, "No, Ty, don't say that." That's legal. That's good. But we all have faults, and we need to allow for that and not nitpick at one another like chickens. We don't need to be that kind of people. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14 says, and do everything with love. Man, Pastor preached a great message about love a few weeks back. And if you haven't heard it, you can go to elevationworshipcenter.org and you can listen to that message. It is awesome. But we need to love as Christ loved, not as this world shows love, because they'll take it and they'll give it. They'll take it and they'll give it. And they'll put conditions on it. The only condition with the love of God is that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Praise God. Let's be honest, though. Many people in this world and even in our own community, they're opinionated, they're self-centered, they're rude, and sometimes just mean in dealing with others. They're just mean. And this shouldn't be, and especially among believers, shouldn't be that kind of a person. I believe that the Lord would have us to practice a ministry of encouragement as we travel through this world. There is such a need for a kind ministry in this world. We need to make an effort to take the time to reach out to those around us who seem to be lost or lonely or have been rejected by others. Some of us have been rejected. Some of us may put on a Johnny Carson face and you see what's going on out here, but in our hearts, we have been rejected and it hurts. So somebody may walk through that back door and they may be all smiles and life is grand, but you don't know what's going on the inside. And so we need to greet them with a smile and a welcome. Come on in, be with us. Everyone who comes to this place should feel like they belong. Long lost brother and sister, I don't know you, but hey, welcome. Come and be with us. We're glad to have you. So this morning, if you would like to open your Bibles or turn on your smartphone, feel free to check in on Facebook if you like. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. And I'm super glad that I wrote all of the scriptures, because we're going to go all around the book of Acts this morning. And I wrote my notes down, and then I thought, ooh, I better put the scriptures in it, because there's not a lot of room up here, so I don't have room to open me Bible. But I have the scriptures. And I'm not savvy enough to keep up with my notes if I use my smartphone. So, Acts chapter 4. And we're going to start with just verse 36, which says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. How many of you have a nickname? I do. Don't I, Jim?
But it's a good one.
It's an encouragement. It is. Jim calls me Chuckles. Whatever. When I was in high school, they called me Smiley or Smiles, you know. So I had a nickname in high school too. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to a man named Joseph. And one very intriguing fact about this is that you will only find him called Joseph one time. And that's in this fourth chapter of Acts in verse 36. It's the only time he's ever called Joseph, because the apostles thought he was the coolest guy, and so they nicknamed him Barnabas because he was encouraging. Well, when this man appeared on the scene in the early days of the church, he stepped out of obscurity doing good. We just thought he was doing good. And when he stepped off the stage a few years later, he exited doing good. In fact, the Bible's record of this man's life and ministry reveals him as a man who had a heart to do good to all of those with whom he came in contact with. I have a few points that I'd like to bring out about this man, Barnabas. I kind of did a character study on him. The first is, if we want to be an encourager like Barnabas, we need to reach out and encourage the desperate. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 27. Acts chapter 9. It says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had truly become a believer. And then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them about how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So after Saul was converted, he tried to unite himself with the local apostle population in Jerusalem, but out of fear and out of prejudice. Out of fear and out of prejudice of his past, they were afraid to allow him into their group. However, Barnabas, the son of encouragement, came alongside Paul and stood up for him and told the others about this man's amazing conversion. And he stood up for one who desperately needed a friend. Now here Paul has been persecuting all of the believers, has this incredible experience with our Lord Jesus, totally turns his world around, and he comes to those people that he was persecuting, and they're like, dude, I'm not sure. I am not sure about you. So Barnabas steps up and says, hey, this is for real. This guy is a believer in Christ Jesus. He has seen the light. He is for real. We need to be that person for others in our lives. We need to be that person. We need to love and welcome people. We need to have a welcoming spirit about us. If we're going to be an encourager, we need to encourage the believers. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 23. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. When the church in Jerusalem heard that there was a new group of believers in Antioch, they sent Barnabas, the son of encouragement, to help them along. The Bible tells us that when he arrived, he exhorted them, which means he offered encouragement to them. This is great. This is wonderful. You guys can do this. And he was excited about God, what God was doing, and how these new converts were serving the Lord. And he did his best to encourage them to carry on with God. Again, there's a lesson here for us today. We ought to do everything in our power to encourage other believers in their walk with the Lord. We need to praise them when they labor for Jesus, help them, encourage them, not nitpick or be critical of their efforts. Our duty to our fellow believers is to help them to grow in the Lord and encourage them along the way. We need to be a cheerleader for one another. Encourage each other along the way. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19 says, so then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says to encourage each other, build each other up just as you are already doing. Are we encouraging each other? I think so. I think every time we gather together, we're encouraging one another. We're sharing stories. We're sharing things that God has done. I mean, that's one of the purposes of the church anyway, is we come together and we share the goodness of God, and it encourages someone who's going through a hard time. Hey, you're going to make it. You can do this. Pastor Gary was in, when he was on the evangelistic field, he was over in a little small community in Oregon, and he was preaching for this pastor. And she had him over for dinner after the Sunday morning service. And holy smokes, she started in. And she was roasting and having everybody in the church for dinner. I mean, she was talking about this one, talking about that one. And her unsaved son, grown up man, was sitting at the table with Pastor Gary, the pastor, and himself. And after dinner, Gary calls me, and or she says to him, she says, "Well, son, don't you want to go to church with us tonight? Now that you've met Pastor Gary, don't you want to come to church with us tonight?" And he's like, "No, no, I don't want to go to church with you tonight." And Gary called me late that afternoon, and he told me what happened. He goes, "Baby, I don't want to go to church with her tonight. I don't want to go there either." You know, I mean, here she is, the pastor of the church, and she's tearing down the flock. We should do that. Man, we need to be an encourager, a cheerleader for one another, to encourage. That's what we need to be doing. If we're going to be an encourager, we need to encourage the discouraged. Even the best of us, even the most Molly Sunshine of us, have bad days where Molly Sunshine just doesn't come out. I work with Sherry, and she could probably list you the times. I just come to work, and I'm just like, I don't think I can make it through the day. So sometimes we're just discouraged. And some of us wear it on our face, on our emotions. Everybody knows, you know, when Ty's happy, and everybody knows when Ty's not. You know, some of us are just like that. But we need to be an encouragement to those that are discouraged. Acts chapter 15. Verse 36 through 40. And we're all familiar with this story. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back." Great idea. "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how our new believers are doing." Yay! Barnabas agreed and wanted to take John Mark. Uh-oh. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in another community and had not continued with them in their work. Their discouragement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him, and they sailed on to Cyprus, while Paul chose Silas, and as they left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Apparently, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark were together on a missionary trip. For some reason, unbeknownst to any of us, John Mark left and he went back home. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 13, verse number 13, says Paul and his companions left some community by ship for some community and landed at the town port of Perga. And there John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. Nowhere in history, nowhere in the Bible do we ever find out why. We have no clue. But John Mark turned around and left and went back home. Maybe he was too young. I don't know how old he was in this setting of scripture. Maybe he was too young to be this great evangelist just yet. Wasn't quite ready. Maybe his zeal took him out, but then cold, hard reality brought him right back. Don't know. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he just got homesick. Nothing is ever recorded about why he left, but he did go. He did leave them. Paul and Barnabas are ready to go out again, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark along, give him a second chance, but Paul disagrees, and he and Barnabas part company. Paul takes Saul, and he goes. Barnabas takes John Mark, and at this point, Barnabas disappears from scriptural records. You don't hear anything more about that. But while Barnabas is never heard from again, his ministry to John Mark had far-reaching consequences, because Barnabas gave this discouraged and defeated. How many of you know he just didn't leave? Something caused him to feel like, I need to go back home. And then he's with Paul. He's with Paul. And he decides, I can't do it anymore. He must have felt discouraged and defeated. But yet Barnabas was ready to take a chance on him again, and he did. And he changed John Mark from that point forward. He gave him a second chance. His life as a servant of God was salvaged. In fact, Paul died, before Paul died in Rome, he requested that Mark be sent to him. And we're going to find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Pastor read this just a few weeks back. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. I love that. I have remained faithful through all of the ups and the downs and an imprisonment and everything else. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits for me, a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. I can just imagine him. Please, Timothy, come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is here with me, and bring Mark when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. He didn't hold a grudge against him. Bring him. I need him. He's going to be beneficial to me in these last days. Bring John Mark with you when you come. Even more important is the fact that because Barnabas took the time to encourage a discouraged brother, Mark was used to write the Gospel of Mark, which gives us an exciting account of the life and the ministry of Jesus. What a truth for us. God's plan is not to kick a brother when he is down, but to reach out to him in a spirit of love and humility and help him to be restored to a place of fellowship and service. We are to display the grace of the Good Samaritan by stopping and binding up the wounds of those that are hurting, those that have been kicked. We need to be that Good Samaritan and bind them up, do what we can to help them, to encourage them, to lift them up, not shake salt in the wound and say, yeah, I told you so, or you should have been here. All of those mean things that we can say. No, man, we need to just give a helping hand up. Welcome back. Let me help you out. If we're going to be a good encourager, we need to promote the work of God. The encourager has an upward ministry. His work doesn't merely reach out to those around him, but it also reaches up as he carries out the work that God has given for them to do. An encourager uses a special spiritual gifts and love from the Lord and the Lord's people to see that the work of the Lord is carried out in all of the world. The first impression we are given of Barnabas is that he is a giver. In that chapter 4, verse 36, we see that he had a field and he sold the field and he gave the money to the apostles for the work of the Lord. He gave of his goods to see that the church and its work went on. He used the things at his disposal to enhance the work of the Lord. This teaches us how we ought to be as well, that we ought to strive to give of our time, our talents, our tithe, so that the church can prosper and that the burden of ministry doesn't rest on the shoulders of just one or two. When we give of ourselves, we should
others
are then encouraged to do the same. I'm trying to read my notes. Sometimes I'm a much better writer than I'm a speaker. So I should just give you my notes. In this, you know, when we first started Elevation, Bonnie, Inez, and Rosie took care of children's ministry. Bonnie, Inez, and Rosie, week after week after week, Bonnie, Inez, Rosie, taking care of it. You know, then Laura came on board, and then Laura moved, and Trista was doing it for a little while, and Trista moved. And then, you know, Brooke, Katie, and Amanda have started teaching in the children's church to our older kids. Christy Christy Henry and Shelley have been teaching our young people, and so they are using their time and their talents in the ministry. So it's just not that group of people being burdened with taking care of children's church. They're spreading the love so everybody gets an opportunity to work with our little people, molding and shaping them. I taught Sunday school for over 20 years. Mainly I started because I spent so much time in the nursery with Houston when he was a baby, when he was little. I just thought, I'll start a class. Come on, I'll take all the little ones. And that's how I started teaching. And I graduated and I taught with Haas all the way even through the teens. I taught teen class. So, I mean, I taught for 20 years teaching kids about the Lord and to love God with all of their heart, all of their soul. We have Daryl Kelly, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but Daryl is here faithfully every single week, loading and unloading, setting up, tearing down, loading and unloading. Every week he is here helping Haas with music, and we appreciate that. That's a time or a talent and his time that he gives towards the ministry. He works very hard to make sure that everything is in its place, hooked up to the right, number 8, number 6, and they're calling out numbers yesterday, Haas was. So we appreciate that. We appreciate our musicians. We appreciate the time that Haas takes to put our music, our worship music together. And the musicians that come and give of their time to practice. Aaron and Cody and Pastor and Daryl and Jim and Sherry who sings. Crystal who sings. We appreciate all of those who put their time and their talent in to making this church what it is, an outreach for Christ. Sherry, every week. You all probably don't know this. Every single week, she does a crosstalk. She puts all the announcements, all the cute little stuff on there. That takes time. I tried to do this once. And then I said, Sherry, how do you feel about doing the crosstalk? Because I am not good at that. I'm not good at that. She just whips them up. She uses her time and her talent, and we appreciate that. We appreciate Crystal takes care of everything church business. And oh my gosh, I can tell you that Pastor would be lost without Crystal taking care of the church business. She handles all of that, all of the finance. She takes care of all of that. So we appreciate that. Lee faithfully does the hospitality table every week. And if she's not doing it, she is arranged for somebody else to do it. She's using her finances, her time, her talent, week in and week out. I don't ever have to worry about that because Lee's taking her talents and she's taking care of that. I never have to worry about it unless I need to bring cups or sugar or something like that. She handles that. Oh, what a blessing that is. That is a blessing. We appreciate that. So see, it's everybody giving their little bits of talent. You know, not all of us can be the pastor and preach great guns. Somebody said this morning, you know, oh, are you preaching? Nope. I am just chit-chatting. I'm just chatting with you. But we appreciate that. We need to praise the work of God in Acts chapter 11. When he arrived and saw this evidence, oh, that'd be verse number 23. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and he was encouraged and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found them, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. When Barnabas had seen all that the Lord had done in Antioch, he set out to find Paul so that he could share the good news, excuse me, of all of the blessings that God was doing. I love when I hear you all tell the stories about sharing the love that you have for your church family and others in the church. Sometimes you're sharing with people that are already saved and going to a church. And sometimes you're sharing to people who are not and who are very skeptical about church. And I love it. In talking this weekend with someone, she was sharing with me about how a believer had come into her business, and they were sharing and they were talking, and she was like, you know, well, you have to be really careful. You know, she named the church that she goes to, and she goes, oh, my pastor loves your pastor. He does? Oh, yeah. My pastor encourages our congregation to come to your pastor's church for Cowboy Church. My pastor encourages our congregation to attend things that other churches are doing. He does? Yeah, he does. Because we are not about building just Elevation Worship Center. We are about building the kingdom of God. It's just not Elevation that's going to make it to heaven. We want as many as possible to make heaven their home. The Bible says not willing, Jesus is not willing that one should perish, but that all of us come to repentance and come to know Christ. It's not just about Elevation. And it, Pastor Tim will tell you, it's just not about Abundant Life. He is just as much about building Elevation as we are about building Abundant Life or New Life Christian Center or the Harvest Church. We're about the community of faith. That's what we are about. Do we want Elevation to grow? Absolutely. Do we all know? Raise your hand if you know somebody who's not saved. Yep. So we could double the size of this congregation. There's plenty for all of us in this community that are not saved, that need to have that loving relationship with God. And for whatever reason, they've put it on the back burner. Something that they have to clean up themselves, something that are not good enough, something they're too good. You know, God's a crutch, whatever. But we all know somebody who is unsaved, and we need to bring them to church to that so they can have that relationship with Christ. We need to participate in the work of God. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid hands on them and sent them on their way. Barnabas was chosen by the Holy Spirit to be actively involved in the Lord's work. And if you are saved this morning, you have been called to actively be a part of the Lord's work. You are here, you are a part of that work. This decision changed the course of his life forever. From that moment on, everywhere Barnabas went, he was a servant of the Lord. I want to be known as a servant of the Lord. I'm too good to serve. Oh, no, we're not. No, we need to have a servant's heart. We need to be humble like that and not uppity and thinking, you know, it's some of us clean the church for years and years, and you're like, you're the pastor's wife and you're cleaning a church? Yeah, we do. Absolutely. I'm not too good to clean the church or scrub the toilet. Believe me. No matter where we go in this world, we are servants of the Lord. Whether we are here at home, at work, in town, on vacation, it doesn't matter where we are. We are servants of the Lord, and we should act accordingly. When we do, we serve as an encouragement to others to do the same. And when we serve the Lord with enthusiasm and zeal, we stand as an encouragement to others. I don't want to go to a church where everybody's quiet and they don't talk, and they're very reverent. Hey, I'm all about being reverent. Reverent means to be respectful. You can be reverent and still have a good time. You can be respectful in God's house and still have a good time. An encourager needs to demonstrate Christ by his life. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. This verse tells us that Barnabas was a genuine man of God. He possessed all the characteristics that marked him as being sold out and on fire for God.
Our lives should stand as an encouragement to lead others to a deeper walk with the Lord. We do this by getting ourselves close to the Lord. And when others see the Lord working in our lives and through our lives, they will be challenged and encouraged to seek the Lord for themselves, because they'll want what we have. James 4 and 8 says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. That's the New Living Translation. Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you, King James. An encourager displays contentment in his life. Contentment. I think sometimes this world lacks contentment because we're always looking for the next best thing. We're not content with the Verizon T9 or whatever. We got to have the T11, and we're always looking to get a little bit further and a little bit better, and you know, we're not content where we're at. It has to be faster or slower or bigger or smaller or brighter or whatever. We're always looking for something. Sometimes I think we just need to practice some contentment. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 49. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust off their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the next town of Iconium. Is that how you say that? Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, along with Paul, were preaching the word of God, and as a result, not everybody liked it. Persecution arose against them, and they were forced to leave town. Instead of being discouraged and quitting and closing and silencing the mouth of the Lord, they just shook the dust off and they went on to the next place. That's going to happen. Not everybody that we reach out to is going to reach back. Some of them are just going to put us at a distance, and that's okay. Don't shut up that word inside of you. We need to keep sharing. We need to continue sharing. We show the true depth of our faith when we are in the valley, and we show how real our faith is in God by how we react to difficulty and hardship. We should always seek to react to adversity by expressing faith in the Lord. And is that all always easy to do? No, it is not. When we are having troubles, it's difficult. But we need to remember that our faith runs so much deeper than the circumstances that we're walking through right now. It runs deeper, and it should run deeper. When we do, we will encourage and be an encouragement to those around us. Our faith and our joy will help them when they too face difficult times. I'm not going to, you know, stand up here and tell you it's always easy. It's just not. But I am going to stand up and tell you that God can give us strength in our faith to walk through those difficult times, to walk through those places in our life where we feel like people are kicking dirt on us, kicking us down. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. We have to remember that we are better than that. And that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Rains on the just and the unjust alike. We are all going to walk through circumstances that are going to be difficult. But it's our faith. It's our faith that carries us through and gives strength to the next person who's going through a difficult time. I'm sure you've all heard the saying that life is about the dash. The dash between the date you were born and the date you die. What did you do during your dash? I found this and I thought it was a great ending to this whole message today. I read a story of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first date came her date of birth and spoke following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For the dash represents all the time that she spent alive on Earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the houses, the cash. What matters is how we lived and loved and how we spent our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things that you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still have time to rearrange. If we could just slow down enough to consider what is true and real, and always try to understand how other people feel. Be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a while. So when your eulogy is being written with your life actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Ah, that's kind of good, huh? Somebody was very creative on that. How would God describe your life? Have you been an encourager? We took one of those silly quizzes on Facebook and you know, what are you? What is your gift? You know, and mine was a servant. And Pastor's was an encourager. And I'd have to say that's pretty well true. He is an encourager. And he does encourage. Not only me, but I'm sure there's a show of hands of all of you out here that, you know, somewhere along your journey that Pastor has been an encouragement to you. And I appreciate that. How many of us could say that that's our character, that's how we are, that's how we operate, or how many of us need to do a little more work to be an encourager? Do we strive to live our lives giving encouragement, or do we get all caught up in the negativity that life has to offer? Did we wallow in our own self-pity or lack, or did we spread words of encouragement and lift others up? How'd you spend your dash? Yeah. Encouragement has nothing to do with your bank account, your job, or who you are in the community, but rather has everything to do with choices. Because you can still encourage, even when you feel like you are walking through the valley, you can still encourage. And it doesn't have to be that phony Christian thing. It can come from a heart of faith, walking through a valley and still be able to encourage. So in closing this morning, Jesus lived his entire life based on four principles that will enable us to really live our dash in an encouraging way instead of dashing to live. Jesus lived passionately. Passionately. He loved completely. He loves you and I completely. He learned humbly. He wasn't proud. He wasn't haughty just because he could, you know, tell you what Moses said or whatever. He wasn't haughty about the way that he learned. And he left this world boldly. And we can too. We can leave boldly our footprints in this world. Man, he or she, they were an encouragement. They were there when I needed somebody. Man, I was really down one day. They were there. That's what I want my dash to reflect. That if nothing else, I could encourage somebody along the way. Be positive instead of negative. Focus on the good and not the bad. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. You can stand this morning. We're going to be dismissed. Oh, Sandy, I love you. I just got a 10. Now, how is that for encouraging before we even get out the door and have a closing prayer? Thank you, Sandy. I love you. Thank you.
She's my mentor. She's my buddy. So this morning in prayer, just bow your heads this morning. Thank you, God, for this special nugget that you have placed in my heart. Father, I hope that I have shared and given justice to the words that you have placed in me. God, I want to be an encourager. I want to be known as an encourager. And Father, I am certain that that is on the hearts of every single one this morning, here, listening by social media, wherever, that their heart and desire is to be an encourager in this very discouraging world. Father, I pray that you would just impart to us the ability to be an encourager. Father, that you would give that to us, that you would show us avenues and places where we can speak a word of encouragement to somebody. And Father, if we tend to look at things in the negative, I pray that you would just check us. Every time we start to see something from a negative point, God, that you would help us find something worthy of encouragement in that. Be it whatever it is, God, help us to start right now. Right where we are, right today, God, to be encouragers. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your special touch that I feel. I love you this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. You are dismissed this morning. Yeah.